Welcome aboard Polaris. You're listening to The 100 Podcast, a show about CW's sci-fi series, The 100. I'm Dan, your mountain man, and today I'm joined by my favorite grounder, Olga.
Hey, everybody. Today we'll be discussing Season 3, Episode 7, entitled 13.
The incredibly upsetting... upset.
Yeah.
Spoilers. Super spoilers. Oh, man.
Jeez, man.
Well, it happened, everybody.
This was the last thing I watched before bed. And I have to say, I had some funky dreams last night.
Yeah. So, before we really get into anything, I was going to say this is probably going to be a truncated episode. We weren't even actually... Olga wasn't even going to be able to record this week. She's going off to a conference pretty soon for the whole weekend. And so, I was going to try to get a guest on or something. But this happened, and we needed to talk. So, we're not going to do listener feedback, and we're not going to go scene by scene. We just have the discussion points and stuff like that. I'm hoping if we get enough listener feedback from you guys, I might do a second podcast before the next episode, potentially with a guest or something. So if you want more, send us emails and all that jazz. But, you know, in the meantime, my first discussion point I have here is just our emotions.
Usually it says our thoughts.
Yep.
So the fact that it's our emotions now is a big deal. I'm hoping that you do a feedback episode.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's so much to pull apart here that I'm sure we're not the only ones who are very emotional.
No, Jason lost 40,000 Twitter followers, I'm pretty sure.
Whoa, for real?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not sure how much that's legit and how much it's just people talking, but I'm pretty sure it's legit. So, yeah, people aren't happy. I'm a little bit worried about how this is going to affect the show going forward. But we'll get back to that. I should have been ready for this, especially because, hey, we've been saying since the premiere, Lex is probably going to die this season. And honestly, from interviews and stuff that I've seen with Jason, it does seem like for the reason we all assumed, which is that she's a series regular on Fear the Walking Dead. And now it's filming in Mexico and The 100 is in Canada. And
there's,
you know,
a bit of a gap between those two places, if so I hear.
And this is, from what I heard, this is, like, pretty much, they were like, you get these 7 episodes or 6 episodes or whatever. And you know, they might have been able to figure something else out, but they kind of, and I think especially once it clicked for him that her death can be how they connect the grounder stuff and the alley stuff, it was like, well, this is what we're going to have to do.
I would say that this is arguably the most satisfying way that she could have died.
That's interesting that you feel that way. People disagree. but
not
I do want
sure. But that said, let me put it this, I mean, I haven't been looking at what people have been saying.
Yeah.
I haven't had the time, but it's exactly what you said, where for us to get the connections, we've had so much curiosity about what grounder mythology is, what happened during the nuclear apocalypse, and after that what happened to Polaris. Like, we've had so many questions, and yes, this episode raised more questions, but it answered so many, and it was about time, because I would say it was getting to a point of distraction. Like, I was starting to feel distracted by all the questions that I was having, aside from a few plot points. Like, I didn't have as many questions about the Arcadia stuff, but exactly, like, everything that was happening in Polis, I was having questions about it, and it needed to be addressed. She needed to go. Alicia Debnam Carey needed to go.
Yeah.
And this show has a limited budget.
Yeah. So, I guess, so some of the things I want to say, so because I kind of got off on a tangent there, that I should have known this was coming because of that. We talked from early on that, like, oh, they're probably going to have sex and then immediately she'll die. All this stuff we've been talking about, but I still, for some reason, wasn't expecting it this episode. I think it was because they built up that whole thing of the two of them having to separate. That I was like, oh, maybe she won't be on for a few episodes or something, or just like, it just didn't feel like, because that was such a dramatic thing in of itself, that they were gonna have to separate. I thought that was the drama, like, and I just kind of turned off my brain a little bit. So it was a real gut punch that I wasn't expecting, and it's really upsetting. And I do want to say that for me, I mean, I'm not with the other people who are like, so into the ship that it's like, I'm not going to keep watching the show. Obviously, I love the show much more beyond the ship stuff. But I do feel like between killing her and how they're kind of muddling Bellamy so much, that they're kind of killing off the ship aspect of the show. And that I actually do feel like there's going to be a hole there that I'll be missing, even though, like, I think the show is much more than that. I do think that the romance stuff was a nice little heart to the show, and especially because I cared so much about the characters and they had been actually doing a good job. I mean, especially with Lex Clark and Lexa, I just think that they did a really good job of building that up, and it wasn't taking over the show, and it wasn't like the reason I watched the show, but it was sort of the emotional through line for a while there. And I do feel like a piece is going to be missing, and I hope they can find a way to fill that void. But to me, it just feels like what I had said a couple weeks ago, which is Lexa and Clark are going to play out, and a few years down the road, Bellamy will be redeemed, and then they'll do Bell Arc. And it's like, it's a little bit scary to me because I just don't know if they can redeem Bellamy at this point. And
It'll be tough. It would
yeah.
be very, very difficult. I would actually have more interest in them driving him further
Yeah.
down the
Yeah.
path of darkness
Yeah.
as opposed to the City of Light. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. So much is rushed. I fear now that this may be their last season. I'm not paying attention to what kind of ratings they're getting.
Yeah.
It's getting a lot of media attention,
Yeah.
which I consider a positive. But
Yeah.
I mean, like, how many shows have been canceled that have been so loved by critics but have had so little views? Like,
I'm not worried for that unless there actually is a dramatic drop off next week because of this. With the ratings and everything, and I even just talking, like, hearing interviews with Jason, like, he before this episode was pretty confident in a season four. Now I don't know. There's a lot of people on Twitter and Tumblr and everything was like, I'm gonna stop watching the show, but I don't know what percentage that actually makes up of the audience, and how much that will actually make an impact, and also how many of those people will actually go through with that,
I think personally, I think that tends to be the vocal minority
Yeah.
because most people aren't involved, super involved in the fandom
Yeah.
in most cases. But the show has an appeal to it,
Yeah.
of like also the age demographic and the fact that
Yeah.
it's CW. That said, so I just want to touch, like, it being CW and
Yeah.
what you were talking about, the love.
Stuff.
The shipping aspects
Yeah.
of filling a void. I have to say, I don't think it ever veered into cheesy.
Oh yeah, I
Like,
agree.
I can't say that it did. And that, I have so much respect for that.
Yeah.
Because that is not easy. It's anything romantic can be easily cheesy. We watched Deadpool yesterday
Yeah.
as a part of my birthday. Weird. Weird way to celebrate a birthday, but we're happy. But that said, there was some like real cheesy stuff there, and I was like, I didn't expect this here. I don't know if it fits the tone of the movie, but okay, I'll accept it. I never had this with a show on the CW that has
Well,
love triangles galore and all, not galore, but has
I
that.
have to say, I don't agree with you as if you're counting season one romance stuff.
Oh God, I forgot about
Yeah.
season one. I'm sorry, I forgot about season one. Season one was a different show.
Yeah.
It was. Did you think it would ever get this dark when you were watching season one?
Well, we had the culling and stuff like that, but I know what you're talking about. And we also had, like, Wells dying pretty early on.
But I mean, when I'm addressing the cheesy, I mean like specifically the love
Yeah,
triangle.
no, I feel like after season one, they figured out how to do romance. Because I think that the way they handled Finn, I mean, as far as her having to lose Finn, I mean, there were bumps along the road, but as far as her having to kill Finn, I thought that was a really powerful thing that they did with romance there. I think that they did some nice little seeds of Bellark throughout season two and none of that. In general, I don't think Bellark was ever cheesy. I think Bellark was always done well, and I think Clexa was always done very well.
Yeah. That's mostly what I was addressing here.
I just feel like it, and it does kind of remind me of Doctor Who, and that, like, especially the Tennant Rose stuff was very, like, it was kind of a big core part of this show, but a side piece, that they're building up that stuff. And I did feel like when it was gone, like, the show is more than that, and I still love the show, but it felt like a piece of the DNA was missing. And it was a part that I did connect with. And so, I don't know. It's very sad to see her go for so many reasons, for the performance, for the character. I mean, take away everything, take away, like, the fact her representation, take away, like, the relationship. She's just a fucking awesome character, and it's
Yeah, I felt sad that weren't addressing that. We were just, like, basically strictly just now talking about essentially Clexa. But yeah,
I
you're
mean,
absolutely right.
she was an awesome character. She was an awesome leader. She was an also awesome female. She was an awesome warrior. And it's definitely sad to see her go. Her performance was so good. So good. And fuck Fear Walking Dead. I hate you.
Me too. I'm totally gonna hate watch it.
I am
For real.
officially never going to watch
I'm already on board this far. Might as well.
it. Ugh.
I don't even want to talk about that shit
Yeah.
show. I have to also respect so much of her performance and the strength of her performance, but also the writing. Like, she was pulled in different directions. She was torn about making decisions. She played it with, like, the right amount of vulnerability and strength. It was, I'd say, especially the look that we got to get of Lexa in this episode was incredible. What she got to do. And I also really have to respect, maybe we'll bring this up more later or not, but the fact that nobody, when people were questioning her as a commander, never as, like, you silly girl, you woman who is weak or anything like that. And she never played it. And I think part of that is, and it never really crossed my mind until now, that this would be a potential thing people could say because she was so strong, she was so powerful, she was so self-assured, but she was still a person who had feelings that she couldn't deny. Like, beautiful, just beautiful.
And I want to specifically, I mean, we're kind of jumping ahead here, but I want to specifically highlight the scene with her and Titus and him bringing up Costia and all that stuff. And A, the performance of, I know how to separate, my feelings from my duty or whatever. That was fantastic. But also just, I hadn't really thought about it. For some reason, it hadn't really clicked to me that the whole thing of that they gave her Costia's head and then she let them into the coalition. And, that is just such a, that just kind of encapsulates who she is, I think.
Yeah. She's still the person who,
And that's
even
something.
before Blood Must Not Have Blood, was not truly, part of her was not fully, knew that it could not be right to fully be on board with Blood Must Have Blood.
And I don't even really. Actually, that's a good point that it's like, how could they have argued before that she wasn't doing Blood Must Not Have Blood if she didn't kill Nia for killing her?
Or at least calling, like, yeah, you can join my coalition, but Nia must die.
Yeah, something like that. But aside from that, it I don't even know if Clark could do that. If they had, I mean, I guess she had to kill Finn, but like that was a little bit different. Like, I don't know. But it's just, I'm upset. I'm very
Yeah.
upset. She's gonna be super missed, and I do we I you know I want to we'll get back we'll kind of swing back around to this because the last point I have is just how she died and everything. I have some issues with how she died, but
Okay. I can see that. I'm not saying, like, universally. That's just my point of view. Just a quick question. You brought something up. Do you think Clark is a better leader than Lexa?
Oh, it's incredibly difficult to answer.
Because you said like even Clark couldn't do that, and I'm like, I don't know, that's a comparison that I can
Yeah,
make.
they come from different cultures and everything. So Lex, I think in some ways Clark is better, but Lexa had to fight through a culture that was a lot more difficult to fight through, and came from that culture herself. So I think it's a hard thing to argue. I don't know. I mean, everybody, we've debated a lot about would Clark have done the thing at the end of season two with betraying Lexa for Mount Weather, and it's like, I don't know. Depending on the circumstances, I could see her doing that. I think that they're both just really good.
Yeah.
You know.
I think the universal, I don't know if I agree with it, but it seems to be that a lot of people are saying yes, Clark would have
Done that.
left.
Yeah. The one thing about this show that's like, maybe because just the break was so long, just the way season two ended, I feel like no matter what they do in season three, it almost just feels like bonus material to me. Because I, no matter what, if I, where they go, if they make me hate things or whatever, I'm like, I can just think of season two as the end of the show. Because
Oh.
it just feels like, in some ways, like, yes, things are left hanging, like especially the Allie thing, but it kind of just felt like a series finale in a way. I feel like you could have ended, like, it would have been really upsetting, whatever, but you could have ended with that really somber defeating of Mount Weather. And, like, I think if the show had ended there, like, if they had gotten canceled, it would have been upsetting because it'd be like, look at all the potential left. But it also wouldn't have been that bad of a finale for it, I don't think.
That would have been, I think it would have been just enough where it would have started, the 100 would have started appearing on those like shows canceled
Yeah.
before their time,
Yeah.
like lists that so many websites
Yeah.
do.
Because I think the main reason I feel that way is I guess the thematic thing that they got in that finale really felt like the culmination of the show up until that point.
I think we're still paying off the themes
Yeah.
from that episode, so I agree that they are big themes. They are
Yeah.
worth not just talking about, but worth exploring further. And I think worth exploring in a full season or two further.
Yeah.
Not of bonus material. That's okay.
I'm
I
just
get
saying
that.
it almost, because the break was so long and I hadn't watched it for so long, it almost felt like, oh, that show was really good and it's over now. And it's like, I don't know. But
Obviously, it's different for me because I went right into season three, so
exactly.
I didn't have to suffer the wait like so many of you.
All right, let's get into the next big point, which is the flashbacks. We're going to talk about them all at once. The first thing I want to just throw out is that at Kit Cosplay was totally right about basically everything she wrote into us about last week.
For real.
Yeah.
Bravo. That was amazing.
Yeah. Really good. And I was so excited. I was not expecting to get full on, at least not, I thought maybe in a couple weeks or something. I was not expecting to, like, start out this episode with, like, holy shit, flashbacks to 97 years ago. That was
Yeah.
great.
Does 97 years ago make sense?
I believe that is the timeline that they have built up in the past.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why have I been under the assumption that it was 150 years ago?
I think that 150 is because you're thinking that when the explosions happened, it was already like 50 years in the future. You get what I'm saying? From now. So, like,
Oh, right.
97 years ago isn't 2016.
Right,
It's, yeah.
right. Well, I didn't think it was. I just
Yeah.
couldn't remember where okay, never mind. I'm good now. That wasn't a big thing where I was like, they did it wrong, because obviously I knew I was in the wrong because that they couldn't screw up that kind of major
Yeah.
timeline issue while they were resolving all these timeline issues. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's like from the very beginning of the pilot. They're like 97 years ago, this explosion happened or whatever. And that's the whole thing is they haven't even been on the ground for a year yet. So,
Yeah.
all right. So I just want to talk about Erica Kara, I think that's how you pronounce her name, at playing Becca. I last week had sort of had some issues talking about how I didn't love her performance as Allie, but I actually really liked her as Becca, and it made me appreciate Allie more because it was so different. And I think that, you know, we have these flashbacks to all characters that we've never seen before, and that could have been like a tall, that was a tall order, but I think that they did a very good job with it. What are your
Yeah.
general thoughts about these flashbacks?
I appreciated them.
Yeah.
Again, I kind of already said how I kind of already said how we had so many questions raised that they were pressing on us and distracting. So they're answered now. At least he's somewhat like the big stuff, the timeline stuff. That's yeah, it's answered. I totally agree about her performance.
I want to. So it's like a funny thing to say, but there is something sort of feminist about having a woman destroy the world. Just because I don't feel like I've ever seen that before. I'm sure it's happened in some other fiction, but like it's usually men. So I just thought that's kind of. I mean, they've had female leaders, female warriors, engineers, everything. Now they even destroy the world. Women can do anything.
That's a good another good thing to take apart within that is a lot of the time with like the man destroys the world, it's like ego and like being macho playing a part and the folly of man and everything like that. Whereas with a woman destroying the world, it's the result of like I'm trying to literally improve it. But I'm too good at my job, and now it went crazy.
I would kind of disagree with
Actually, wait. There's still the folly of man
Yeah,
of
she's
like I'm egotistical enough to
yeah.
think that I can do this,
Yeah,
but
she's totally still has a god complex.
yeah.
And but I think it's actually like very similar to something like Tony Stark in Ultron, as far as like he was trying to do good, something good there, but he had a god complex and was playing with things he shouldn't have been playing with.
Well, I'm not saying there aren't exceptions on the male side. I just mean,
Well, but I
like,
actually think it's positive that they're giving her sort of the quote unquote male characteristic of having the god complex and the ego, and that they're saying that's not just a man thing.
yeah, that's good, but it's all that's definitely true. I'm not denying that relationship. I just mean like, I was thinking about Dr. Strangelove. Have you ever seen Doctor Strangelove?
I saw it a long time. I don't remember it that well, but I did see like most of it, I think, a long
All
time
right, I'm gonna recommend to everybody to watch Doctor Strangelove or How I Learned to. Oh God, the title is for like extremely long, but it's something like Doctor Strangelove or How I Learned to Love the Atomic Bomb, something like that.
Okay.
Great film, and it's definitely that is a movie that I think about of like the polar opposite while still having nuclear destruction of what we see Becca doing in this. And that was kind of a big first example film of nuclear apocalypse and the folly of man. And here it's like, well, here's the God complex and her drive to not give up. And they're just very cool allegories to, not allegories, but like comparisons to be made.
I do want to talk a little bit about budget as far as these flashbacks go, because on the positive end, I thought the sets were really solid and were like a nice variation on the Ark stuff we'd seen before. On the negative side, I do think this is mostly a budget thing, is only having basically three people on the entire space station.
Of Polaris.
Polaris, And, you know, I thought that the three people that were there did a really good job. I thought all the acting was really solid, but yeah, there was a weirdness where it's just like, is anybody else on this thing? Like, which obviously there were more people, but I don't know how they could have just tried to infuse a feeling of, even if they had a scene where they are walking down a hallway talking and there are more people around or
Yeah.
something, but
Yeah, I definitely, that crossed my mind. But that said, they couldn't have really devoted screen time to the actual commander of Polaris addressing more people because then that would have distracted, I think, from our forming emotional connections and opinions of the two people that we did see with Becca.
I did really like the moment of the Commander Cole losing his family. You know, it was fast, but it was like as good as you can do with the amount of screen time they have, I think. And it did sort of remind me of stuff like the Culling and just season one feel of like the difficulties of the Ark and all that stuff. I thought that was a nice little beat.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking. I was like, how did you get me to feel so much in such a short amount of time?
Exactly. It's just a good performance goes a long way.
Absolutely.
So we should also talk about, so she's the injections, so Becca's injecting herself with something. It's giving her black blood, night bloods are coming. And it's that creates radiation resistance as she's able to survive on the ground later. This is all stuff that, I was putting forth and Kid Cosplay was putting forth as possibilities. And she seems to bring down a bunch more, so I assume that's where the other night bloods come from. I don't necessarily assume they're all her descendants, but probably descendants of her and the other people like she found when she landed on the ground.
It could be a thing of like not everyone has the reaction that causes the blood to turn black, but some people do, and that's the Night Bloods.
Okay, so there's this whole argument about Allie 2 is able to save the world because she's different from Allie because she connects with an actual human and she'll understand what it's like to be human. Obviously, we'll get back to this when we talk about Alexa's death. But that's the whole, she wants to protect Allie 2 at all costs. She's the humanity's savior. She basically lets Polaris blow up in order to protect Allie 2 and escapes to the ground, as we thought. She takes the commander uniform, becomes the first commander again, as we thought. Now, the biggest question that I have, and honestly, the biggest thing that I was hoping would be answered by the flashbacks was not answered by the flashbacks.
What was it?
How the only 2 years have passed since the world exploded. How do they not understand a spaceship coming to the ground? How do they?
I'm confident that we'll maybe not be addressed through flashbacks, but we'll get a peek into what has happened. It could be a thing of like she's a savior and she's such a strong leader that they don't immediately think that she's a god, but as
It
time
becomes a
goes
like
on, the legend morphs.
and again because of quick life expectancy and all that stuff.
Short life expectancy and the quick turnaround of like losing knowledge, losing scientific understanding. So myth, like reality turns into legend and turns into religion.
I would personally like that to be explicitly stated, but
I mean, I would too, but
but I
it kind of is with
guess.
Murphy, where he's like, no, this is like science. This is like what he quickly figures out. Nope, she was like us. And then Titus gets really like, she was nothing like you. Like,
I am Titus.
he can't accept that at all.
All right, ready to switch gears from that, or anything else you want to say there?
I really just with Polaris being blown up, that was a thing of whole like, we only have 60 seconds, and then she leaves, and I was like, well, she's gone. You can connect with Polaris now. And then the other stations turning around being like, no, we're making an example of you. And I was like, oh God, this is everything that we talked, like we knew would happen, but for some reason I hoped that it wouldn't.
Now, this is actually a
'Cause I already
pretty
cared about those people.
this is actually a pretty solid example of how you can do a prequel, right? Because like we knew the mythology of, oh, they had to blow up that station, but I was kind of wondering whether it would actually play out the way we thought it was. I kind of thought that like maybe Allie 2 would blow up the station, or like her escaping would blow up the station or something. I was also a little confused because of the way that Polaris, like the station looked. I was like, does that become the Polis Tower? And it didn't. But I like the way just the way that they were when they revealed it, I was like, that kind of looks like the Polis Tower, with like plus 100 years. But yeah, I was just wonder. I really wasn't like we knew what was supposed to happen, but I wasn't sure that what it was actually going to play out that way. And so I thought that they built up tension that way nicely. Also, there was an added layer that came to my viewing of it just because I misheard a line,
What?
which is funny. Because Cole said something about like, so you know the assistant person there? He said something about assistant in like a fast way that I misheard. And I thought he said your sister. So I thought the assistant was her sister, and I was like, that's a nice added little bonus of the
Oh God.
betrayal. Which is really funny, but
That would have been, I think that for me would have been overkill of like, you were trying to get me to feel things and I don't enjoy being manipulated.
All right. Shall we totally switch gears now?
I am totally ready.
Oh, you are so down. All right, so we are talking about basically the early parts of the episode with after Semet comes, or Senet, I don't know, what's his name? Semet. and talks about what happened last week. You know, Lex is forced to try to create a blockade around the Arcadians, and basically is like, we know what we're gonna stop them from moving, you know, and expanding, but we're gonna try to give them a little bit of time to see if their people will rise up against their leaders. All because Clark is clearly pushing for that. But there will be a kill order for anyone who crosses the line. And so this creates all this hubbub and everything. And the biggest thing that I took exception with this plot line was Octavia weirdly still hating Lexa, which I guess that was really strange and out of character, given that the last time they met on that battlefield, they seemed fine, and Lexa did this radical thing that protected her Octavia's people and was pushing for blood must not have blood. It wasn't even saying let's go attack. I mean, Octavia was then there for all those things. She saw everybody else wanted to kill all the Sky Crew, and it was only Lexa that was protecting them. And I was just like, really, Octavia? Really? I don't like literally 2 weeks ago. Or I don't even remember what it was, but Indra was pushing to kill everybody, and it was only Lexa that stopped that from happening.
Because of Clark.
Yeah.
I know. It's that's I also saw that as a point. I think part of it where I can reason it with myself a bit, it doesn't perfectly solve it,
Yeah.
but I think Octavia might resent the fact that Clark feel like can't leave.
Yeah.
Like that Clark isn't coming back to her own people, that she isn't there as an example as to why they should stop.
Yeah.
So I think Octavia is resenting Lexa for like keeping Clark away from her people.
I could see that. I mean, obviously there is a history there of her not agreeing with the missile attack and her not agreeing with the end of season two. But I guess feel like at this point she should understand Lex a little bit more and everything. But I have less of an issue with her issues with Clark. I feel like I get the Clark
Oh
stuff.
yeah. I totally do. Also, I feel like Octavia is loyal to a very few amount of people. Like she has her top five.
Don't even know if
That's
it
it.
counts that many.
Top two.
I want more. I mean, it's not really going to happen now with the whole City of Light craziness, but I, in general, wanted more Octavia Raven bonding, especially since they killed off Gina. Raven had a friend for like half a second. Like,
Octavia doesn't do friends.
yeah.
Okay.
Except for Indra, which is our
She's not
next
her
topic.
friend, okay?
I liked this little Indra C plot thing here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Adding, like, honestly, Indra hasn't had a ton of depth throughout. Like, I like Indra, but this was like the first time that really showed vulnerability and gave her layers. And I like the idea they sort of are weakening her power level in a way, but she's gonna fight through it. You know, getting a little bit of the Raven plot line in there. But
I mean, I think it's the I'm a badass bitch
yeah.
plot line. And that's the thing. That's what all we really saw from Indra. Like, she's loyal. She's willing to help people's potential grow. She's stubborn.
Yeah.
She's powerful. You know, all of this. But now seeing that she's capable of, like, she's so used to being that person.
Yeah.
And the added layer of like when she's not that person, she doesn't have an identity.
Yeah. Yeah,
She
I like
can't not
that.
be that person.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, we've been wanting more Octavia Indra stuff.
Yeah. And I like that Octavia, it sort of turn the tables with Octavia inspiring her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Right.
And seeing her be like, talk to her. What was it that Octavia called Indra, like master, or like my Like I was like, yes, you're her student. You right, you help her. You push her back to. Ah, I love it. I love it. I what can I say? This is this. See, this is the kind of apprenticeship I want to see. I don't want to see Bellamy apprentice to Pike. I want to see Octavia apprentice to Indra.
Well, it is interesting because that it's kind of it's like mirror images in a way, right? As far
Yeah.
as because I do think we're gonna have a, I don't know what's more, I mean, what's more likely a Pike Kane final battle or a Pike Indra final battle, but I don't think Pike is long for the, well, he might be long for this world and that he might get to the end of the season, but I don't think he'll get past that.
Yeah, I kind of hope he doesn't.
Yeah.
I I think I made the prediction on the podcast of like Pike kills Indra, Octavia kills Pike.
Yeah, I could. You did make that, I think. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like if anything, with the tension between the Blake siblings and this parallel, I feel like this is helping bolster that in my mind. I'm not saying I need it to happen, but I think it would be interesting.
I have to say, with the rate they're killing people right now, I'm kind of expecting at least two more major people to die. Which is like, I think Kane's out of here. Not Kane. I meant Lincoln, I think, is definitely out of here. And I think maybe Indra. Hopefully not. There's a lot of women and people of
Basically,
color.
what you're saying is like hurt Octavia so that she's the new Raven.
Yeah. I don't know.
Don't know if I like that.
Yeah, no, it's actually, yeah. Lincoln's enough. Don't kill off Indra and upset Lincoln, let's set Octavia even more.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So much pain
Yeah.
for my weird warrior baby.
I mean, I don't want any of these people to die, to be clear. I'm just
I
saying who
mean,
I think is more likely.
but they have to, Dan.
All
Whoa.
right, let's talk about sex.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Of
Let's talk
course.
about you and me. That's a song.
Yes, it
I
is.
apologize for making our listeners
I
hear that song.
used that as the intro music for one of my Girl Meets World episodes, where we talked about the banned Boy Meets World episodes.
Whoa,
Yeah.
cool.
All right. So, yeah, the classic, we'll never see each other again sex. This is all just so well done and so upsetting in retrospect.
I don't know. You also brought this up. Even though we've been talking so much about like sex equals death, like
Yeah.
we knew this. I was lulled into a false sense of security
Yeah.
for some reason.
Yeah.
Have no idea what. Like
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it was just that it just didn't seem like the episode where that would ha like I thought that yes, sex would equal death a couple episodes from now. I didn't really expect things to go that out of control in this episode, you know? I thought that they'd be separated for a while, there'd be like a final thing at the end of the season and Lexa would die or something like that. But yeah, I do want to say I think even more so now that part of the reason they had Clark have sex in the premiere, it is to be like sex doesn't always have to equal, like, we're not saying lesbian sex equals death, we're just this is just how it happened. Now, I've seen arguments about whether they should have done this earlier, just so that it wasn't so directly ridiculous in that way, that it was like, haha, and then death.
Well,
But I guess don't they had so many episodes because of Fear the Walking Dead, and I don't think that they needed to take their time with this, unfortunately. Like, if they had had sex earlier, I don't think it would have been earned yet.
I was actually just going to say that. Like, we've been commending the show for their tension, the sexual and
Yeah.
romantic tension between Lexa and Clark that we've seen leading up to this,
Yeah.
of like, Clark isn't forgiving her far, like, quickly enough to accept any advances.
Yeah.
But then we slowly see her heart melting in there, and they're connecting, reconnecting again. And that was, I think this was the first time that it really truly was earned. Yes, it does have the factor of like, well, I'm leaving now, and who knows if you will ever see me again.
Yeah.
Da, da, da. Like, yes, but that, I think that we could see with so few words, just the looks on their faces, especially on Clark's face, of like wanting to give in. What?
At what point are you talking about, though?
Like
Because
when
the
they're standing together, when Clark comes into Lex's room,
yeah.
saying like, "When are you leaving now?"
No.
And just the look, she can do this like puppy dog look, but it's not just that. It was just like this resolve melting, and
Yeah.
it was so subtle,
Yeah.
but the performance was incredible. And the fact that it's like Lexa kind of leaning in but not wanting to
Yeah.
make that first move,
Yeah.
and then Clark like pulling Lexa towards her, and like she pulls Lexa towards her, but Lexa like pushes herself and like can give
Yeah.
in fully now.
It
And that was
was.
just really sweet and
Yeah.
exactly what you said, like it was earned at this point.
Yeah. It. it was one of the first times I ever really thought about acting for a sex scene. Like,
Really?
I mean, I guess that, like, I don't know. Usually you just think of, like, oh, they're being sexual or whatever. But, like, the amount of emotion that they were pouring, it really felt natural in a way that I haven't seen that many other times. And,
That's
like,
actually very true.
you know,
The
it.
when Lexa sat down on her bed
Yeah.
and she's kind of looking up at him,
Yeah, exactly.
like she wants to say something, but her body language is doing the talking. But
Yeah.
she doesn't want to pressure Clark because she's already done so much. And
Yeah.
that was so real,
Yeah.
like
No.
emotionally real.
Yeah.
That was
No.
I wasn't seeing them as like Juanita and Heda at that point.
Yeah.
Seeing them as two young people who have feelings for each other
Yeah.
and don't want to hurt each other anymore, but
And that's what I feel is like, even though it's not the most important thing in the show, it was a cap in their hat or whatever, feather in their
sure in their cap.
whatever. It was just like, that was really human. I think they have great chemistry with Bellamy and Clark too, but Bellamy's so messy now. And there is, we'll get to some of the queer implications of that too.
I have to say,
Yeah.
now I'm totally on board with what you're saying. And now I'm very worried about this
Yeah.
your heart of the show being gone.
Yeah. It was
Not gone
just.
fully, but not as powerful.
Yeah. It's. Because, like, yeah, like, I do like Lincoln and Octavia, though I don't think that's going to end up very positive either. And I do like Cain and Abby, but, like, that's just not the same. Like, and even, like, Amory and Murphy, it's like, they're both just, like, they're not, like. Like, even though I'm beginning to care about Murphy more, he's still always going to be Murphy to me. And so it's like, yeah, I don't know. But it was. And the thing is that I will say, even though they didn't have sex earlier, I think it made sense to sort of culminate here and to have their happiest moment here. I do feel like the last few episodes, basically since that episode where Lexa came to her room in that nice nightgown thing, I feel like they've basically been a couple, even if they are having reserved feelings. Like, he's drawing her. They're very much having a couple discussions about their politics and things.
I can see that.
But the other thing that we do need to talk about as far as the sex stuff is the tattoo. And so this is kind of confusing and clearly seeding things to come as far as there are seven circles for the Nightbloods that died at her conclave. What happened? But there were nine people at the conclave, which I assume one of them is Lexa, is what they're saying, because they go, what
Yes.
happened to number eight? So is the assumption here, which I don't think we'd ever had confirmed before, is that all the other Nightbloods die, other than that they all kill each other?
Yeah, because we were
Okay.
like, what happens to the Nightbloods? Do they become leaders? What are they doing? It's like, oh, they have to kill each other probably to
Yeah.
become
So
commander.
do we think number eight is alive
I
somewhere?
think it's Kostya.
That's what I thought as a possibility, sure. Which would be interesting that Kostya would continue to matter even now Alexa's gone. Like, because I really thought we were going to get those flashbacks about Roan and everything, but now I'm just like, I don't, that seems highly doubtful. Yeah, I don't know. This poor show, when it's, I didn't realize Roan was, like, really important on Black Sails. It's like, can you please, guys,
Wait, for real?
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but he'd already been when he got cast, so it's just like, man, can we just have our characters, please?
Would be nice.
Oh, man. All right, so anything else you want to say about that, or should we move to Titus?
Well, I don't know if it would be the most interesting thing in the world if it was Kostya,
Yeah.
but I think it would once again bring up that side of Lexa of like she broke tradition because she couldn't kill the one that she loved, maybe, and the other clans like took advantage of her
Yeah.
clear what they interpreted as weakness or something.
I feel
I
like.
don't know how it would become important. Like you bring up a
Yeah.
good point. Like if it's Kostya, I don't see how this would be relevant now that Lexa's gone.
Because Kostya, like, people have always, like, had debates or like, conspiracy theories about, like, is Kostya still alive somewhere or whatever? But, like, they gave her head.
Yeah, I'm
Like, that's.
pretty sure I can say definitively
Yeah.
Kostya is dead.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like. Like, if Lexa hadn't died this episode, I would have been like, oh, they're gonna eventually reveal a little backstory about, like, revealing Lexa's character more through Kostya or whatever. But it's just like, know what that would matter now. Lexa's gone. Like, what's the point in fleshing her out more or talking about someone who's already dead? And like, I don't, yeah.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
So I don't know. Well, it's an interesting little dangling thing there, and we're obviously going to get a lot, probably more information as the conclave goes into effect. I just remembered we haven't even mentioned that there's no Bellamy and Arcadia this episode.
This episode would have been so overstuffed.
Yeah.
I would have resent I would have like if people don't like some of the stuff that they showed here, then can you imagine if they had to split the time difference?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a very smart thing, but it just makes the tragedy even more tragic to me, because I did, and I tweeted about it, like, I was like 30 minutes into the episode when I remembered, hey, where's Arcadia? And I was like, I clearly am so invested in like the Clark and Lexa and Polis dynamic that I don't like, and Titus, who's like this pretty much brand new character, that I'm like, I don't even need those people. But now Lexa's dead and I'm sad.
Don't let the shippers hear you.
Oh man. All right, Titus. You have the whole debate with Murphy. Is it science? Is it faith? He's torturing Murphy. It's not all, I mean, there were scenes here, but I feel like there's not that much to talk about with the Murphy interactions. Yeah.
Not really, but the performance was good.
Yeah. I saw one review talking about how kind of awkward it was that Murphy was just there at the end.
Yeah.
Just because he, like, barely. The fact that Clark called him a friend, I think, is ludicrous.
Yeah, that also jarred me. I was like, what?
Yeah. And so like he doesn't care about Clark, and like he never interacted with Lexa. So like, yeah, it was, I mean, I don't know what they could have done differently, but it was just a little strange.
Willing to forgive that.
I am excited to see Murphy, more Murphy Clark and Murphy Octavia, because they're all sort of in the same area now.
Yeah.
Like,
That's why I'm okay with it. I'm like, all right, we're reconciling people into one area. That's good.
Other Titus stuff, I really liked him killing Semet. Just another layer of like, he seems so villainous with the Murphy stuff, but he's protecting someone we care about, and he clearly cares about her too. And I do think that they got him out of the Gustus zone, and made him into a full character this episode in a way that I enjoyed.
Can I say that there was this amazing tension throughout this entire episode where you keep thinking, like, is he going to betray Alexa? Is he? No, he's loyal to her. But he's kind of shady. No, but he's loyal to her. And it's just this back and forth, where I'm like, I want to believe that he's being genuine, but this is questionable behavior. But in the end, I'm so grateful that I don't want to see a storyline where it's like the typical, like, I was lying the entire time and I'm doing it for my own good. No, I think he is a father figure to Lexa. He thinks he's doing what's best for her in everything he does. It's not, obviously doesn't end well, but I like that I can kind of start to like him.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's hard to like him knowing what
No, I
happened,
know, but you know what I
but
mean.
I know what you mean. As far as especially, and I feel like that actor and that wardrobe that they gave that actor, he looks like the shady guy who's super villain. Like, he just looks like the guy who's clearly out for money or revenge or whatever,
Power.
power. Yeah, like, and yeah, they added this level. Yeah, he really does fully care about her, and that any sort of shadiness is just that he has this religious beliefs that don't really jive with everybody else.
He's the flame keeper. Like, his responsibility is to remember where they came from and to guide with his through history and tradition so that the current commanders can make the like help make them make the educated decisions as to what other commanders that came before them did and what succeeded and all that, right? Like, that's what his purpose is. So wouldn't he be a traditionalist in that case? Like, that's kind of the job
Yeah,
description.
exactly. And I liked, I mean, just seeing in some of the interviews with Jason, how he didn't want the religion to just be totally hocus pocus and totally wrong. Like that it honestly is reincarnation, is just not in the traditional sense. And the way they're viewing it is a little religious, but they're not wrong, which I think was a very, just I think the way they've been handling religion is really interesting. And I want to know, I'd like to know more about sort of why they want to tackle this stuff and like where they're coming from with this. I just think it's interesting.
I think I have a theory in that why they wanted to tackle it. It's because I kind of said this, I think, last time of like what societies develop first when they form, and a lot of society and culture is based around a belief system. Like you want to believe in a greater power that you feel like your culture witnessed something and you want to make an explanation for it. And what we said about like science morphing over time into religion, it all, and how very quickly a religion formed on the ark of coming back to earth and may we meet again and all of that. Like it was very accelerating both, but I think it makes sense too. I love it.
All right, so sort of transitioning into Lexa's death, obviously Titus is trying to kill Clark, and so we have Lexa having sort of an accidental death. He accidentally shoots Lexa, and a lot of people are talking about, did Lexa deserve better? She was such a strong warrior. Should she have been able to end as a hero, sacrifice herself, die in battle, blah, 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 blah. I will also say, without getting into specifics, because I know you haven't seen it yet, this is incredibly, incredibly reminiscent of a scene from Buffy to a kind of a ridiculous degree. And he hasn't seen Buffy. I know because he didn't know that the Finn death was also very similar to a scene in Buffy. So, I mean, things happen, but it does kind of add a weird layer there. I don't know. So you liked this.
Okay. I was expecting and would have liked a big valiant death for Lexa in battle. That would have been a greater payoff. And that probably would have gotten more people on board. We would have gotten more time with her and everything. And I would have liked that. I'm saying, given the circumstances that they were facing, and yes, it's nice to say like, oh, but this show should like work in every power that they can't, like, no, they should have seen that we would have been dissatisfied with this and done around it. Well, I'd like to believe that they're saving that budget for a really big thing, and circumstances are circumstances. Like you have to work around them.
The one argument people are making that I don't totally agree with is the whole of like he should have died. Like, I understand people wanting her to like heroically sacrifice herself. Dying in battle, like, if she had died against Roan, no one would have been satisfied with that. That would have been like, fuck, she died. This is upsetting. Like, I don't think that that would have been better. I think that there are some interesting layers here as far as I think people aren't giving it the credit that it's due. As far as, yes, it was an accidental death at the hands of someone who loved her, a grounder using a gun, and bad things happened. I thought that was a nice little.
Like that's what they say, like you can't, like the grounders cannot hold the guns 'cause they don't, like bad things will happen. Case in point. This is what I mean, like for everything that could have, the implications of everything that happened in this scene are really satisfying with how you connect the dots to what the show has already established and what it, both emotionally and plot-wise,
And
like.
I think that they do a good job of, yes, that's how she dies accidentally, but she still dies a hero in my mind. She's not afraid of death. She dies protecting Clark and saying, don't ever try to hurt Clark again. And it's all about protect that and the emotions. And they have a great emotional, fantastically acted scene ending together. I mean, the modes in which she died, to me, don't super matter. It's not like we don't know she was a hero, like it's not like we didn't just have a few episodes ago her defeating Roan and killing Nia. It's not like we haven't seen for many episodes that she is a strong, powerful person. And I even think, yeah, that her resolve in death, I think, did that as well. I can understand the desire for the sacrificial death or whatever, but I don't think that this is a massive disservice to the character or anything,
Is that what people are saying?
Oh yeah, like they're trying to like trend Lexa deserved better and like
Disagree entirely.
yeah I
This is what I mean. Like, this is also the person she was. There are several sides to her as a person, and they have not gone back on who this character is at all. Like, this is in line with everything. And just because it's not like an action-packed thing, it's just maybe a part of it is they feel like her death was used too much. Like, they used her to explain all of this stuff. She deserved better than that because she shouldn't be used as a plot device. Like, of course she's gonna be used as a plot device. If you take her away from Clark, it's gonna cause shit to go down with Clark. So that's gonna be a plot device. Every
I mean, and the other thing is, I just think they made the best of a bad situation
Yes.
as far as like, oh, if we're going to have to lose this character that added a lot to the show, let's at least have her death add a lot to the show.
And it does. That's why I like it. This is the best under the circumstances. This is satisfying to me because it did so much for the show. And I think people need to open their minds to it. I would love to hear, I probably unlikely will be on the listener feedback episode, but I would love to hear you and whoever discussing your thoughts and hearing people's feedback about this. Because, I mean, again, I'm imagining what people are saying because I haven't read anything myself. I
I
want to hear the
really
flip side. I want to hear from someone who doesn't agree with us.
I do at least agree with them in that, like, I kind of wish the exact mode of how it happened was different. I kind of wish it wasn't just a randomly accidental bullet. That does feel kind of anticlimactic. But that just, like, I think that is a criticism. It's just not such a criticism that it matters that much to me, because the important part is that she had a great dramatic final scene, that it does reveal these new things about the history, and that the emotion was great, and that Titus has totally changed because of it, and that now he's an ally with Clark and then instantaneously, and like, it's, you
Yeah.
know,
I can agree with the whole like she didn't deserve an accidental death. Like, did she deserve an assassination? She didn't deserve an assassination from Titus. So
And I don't know if this is fair because it is art or whatever, but like, my gut reaction to this person didn't deserve the death they got, I'm like, well, that's kind of life, guys. Like, I mean, maybe because it's art, you should be able to give them service to whatever, but like, sometimes people just die. Like,
yeah,
and
it's not fair.
and even if you're a warrior, you accidentally get shot and you die. Like,
Yeah,
it's,
even if you're Hedda. Yeah.
So yeah, we ended with the nice callback of maybe life should be more than just survival. You
Yes.
know, good stuff. So then they have removing Allie 2 from the back of her head.
That coming.
I did not see that coming at all. I thought that was visually really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Really creepy. I think it's great that her having visions of what the past commanders wanted is actually real.
Yeah.
And that her memories and subconscious and all that stuff are stored in that too. So there's a possibility of seeing her more, I've been hearing, that might happen. But probably only like an episode or something. But, you know, I think that's really interesting. I don't really understand yet, A, what Allie 2 does, and B, what its implications will be for the rest of the series, as far as is it just like help the commander be intelligent? Like, I don't really get what, you know, like what it, I get why it's being passed from human to human as far as like it needs a human host in order to work, but what does it do? I
I
don't
think
really.
we're gonna get that. I mean, I don't think they're
Oh,
just
like,
gonna be like, it does something.
yeah, no, I get that. I'm just like, right now I'm just like confused, but obviously yes, I think we're gonna get a lot more about that.
I mean, if they had tried to address that further, I would have been like, there's so much. You only have a certain amount of time. And it leaves the question, it answers questions, and it brings up a lot of questions too. I'm like getting all riled up. Like, people are expecting the world from
No.
a show, and I'm like, it's a show. I love it too, but calm down.
Lexa, it's gonna be really sad next week when there's no Lexa. I'm
It
also
is.
wondering if we don't get Clark next week at all. I
You
feel like
think
that
they're gonna do the reverse and
they
only
might.
show us Arcadia next week?
I think that might happen, which would be a bummer, but
That would, if you want to talk about Jason losing Twitter followers, that'll.
okay, so speaking of Jason losing Twitter followers, here's the thing that I've been hearing people talk about, and I don't know a ton about this, so if people want to send like a bigger email or whatever giving us more information, please do. But the idea of queer baiting, and that a lot of fans, obviously, I guess we should just say, like, we're not lesbians, so like we don't know how people feel. But a lot of people are very upset because they feel like Jason was sort of giving people false hope about this show and about Lexa's future, and he was saying that there is hope for Clexa, and sort of laying on the Clexa stuff a little too thick for some people, and that they feel like he was just sort of playing with their emotions in order to drive ratings, because it was, you know, that was something that he had built up such a fan base because of that, and that, you know, it was, he should have, you know, he was pushing this, like, oh, how great this representation was, and now they no longer have lesbian representation on the show, and he knew that was coming. And is that okay? I think it's iffy gray issue, honestly. I think some people are taking it a little too far. He still wrote a phenomenal lesbian character for many episodes that was really good. He didn't probably want to kill her. Their relationship was fantastic. Even if it ended the way it did, I still think it's a great example of a female-female relationship. And I don't think that it is saying anything. I don't think it's intending to say anything negative about that. I think the show, I know that bi representation is different than lesbian representation, but the show is still a queer show. It still has a bi protagonist, and it still has Miller and Brian.
And who knows?
Yeah, and I would not be surprised if we either have someone else, like...
I don't think there's going to be a coming out scene or anything like that, but who knows? Who else will be revealed? Like, I feel like what I like about the show is it's just a fact of life to them. Like, not everyone is...
Well, by revealed, I don't mean, like, in the world of the show, but revealed to us.
Oh, okay.
Somebody else already is like that, or just bring... Like, honestly, we've only had Lexa for, like, half... Like a total of one season or whatever. Like, you could easily still bring in another great character and have us fall in love with them pretty quick. How quickly did people fall in love with Lexa? You know, like, I'm not saying, like, it would be a tall order now that people have that expectation and they have Lexa in their minds, but I don't know. How do you feel about all this?
I kind of feel like it's not for me to say.
Yeah.
Because I don't agree.
Yeah.
But I have none of that. I have the advantage of, like, not having to pick and choose, you know, like, look desperately for TV that will represent me.
Yeah.
Or, like, the kind of relationships that I have.
Yeah. But how do you feel about Jason doing what he did?
Like, specifically him saying there's hope for Clexa?
Stuff, I think there's stuff, I don't know all, that's why I want someone to send an email, because I don't know all the specifics of, like, what he said.
Yeah, me neither, which is why I can't.
Yeah, but the general thing is that he was sort of, he definitely said there's hope for Clexa, and I guess there technically was hope for Clexa. They got together, and they had a positive relationship, never mind how short it was, but there was some hope that they'd reconcile. You could argue that. I also don't know really what he was supposed to do, as far as how many thousands of questions did he get about Clexa for months and months while he knew that Lexa would die, and was he supposed to ignore all of those? If he said nothing, that would have raised a lot of eyebrows too, and he doesn't want to spoil his show. You know, I guess my feeling is there was probably a little bit of skeeviness here and a little bit of over the lineness, and I can understand why people are upset. Even, mm-hmm. Like, you know, I can't personally understand why they're upset. I can try to see where they're coming from. I still feel like, okay, let's talk about that. That's an issue. He should learn that lesson, but he still is writing really strong characters and still wrote a great, like, one of the best lesbian relationships I've ever seen on TV. So it's like, you know, that's my feeling.
I feel like this doesn't take away, or it shouldn't take away, what has come before.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I think that's all that I can say, knowing as little as I know and not having the ability to, like, judge his words for myself.
Yeah. I do want to throw in, so maybe moving a little bit aside from specifically Jason, but the optics of how it will sort of come off if she does end up with Bellamy now, even if it's like a season or two later, that, like, you have this show, this queer relationship, whatever, you kill her off, and then the girl just ends up with the guy, like in any other show. My feeling here is that, like, I can see why people would have an issue with that. I think it's more of an issue with shows as a whole, though, and the fact that we just people want more, understandably, want more female-female relationships. I don't think it's a problem of this show itself, because I think there is also a sort of an iffy thing about saying, oh, your bi protagonist can't go back to men. I feel like that's a little bit strange, like not okay either.
Yeah, I was gonna say this feels biased against bi representation of saying like, but you told me a little bit about how there are people in the Bell Arc like camp who are like, oh, it's just a phase with her and Lex. That's like, no, she is bi. And I feel like that's what us seeing her with that girl, the grounder girl in the beginning, was like, no, it's not a phase. This is also just a part of her identity, and you have to accept that. And that being a part of her identity means that she will be with whoever she will be. And
I don't think you can ever make a logical argument, and I don't know where it will go, but I have a strong feeling that you can never make a logical argument that this was just a phase for her. And I think that that's why it was good in some ways that it ended with, if they were going to ever go to the Bellamy, it was good that it ended with Lexa dying as opposed to her just moving on to Bellamy, because it was like, no matter what, you know that she loved Lexa. You know, like that was not a phase that will just get moved on past. You know, she loved Lexa, that is definitive. Like, and so, I mean, I think that they're doing a great job with bi representation. I don't know, you know, I can see people, other people would be upset about the lesbian stuff, but,
It's complicated, and it's really, representation's a big deal. And when you get a show that does it so well and you feel like you're betrayed by it, that I can empathize about how like difficult that must be.
All right. Well, we're just in the dead zone this week. We have Semet and Lexa, and it's
Fuck
very,
Semet.
very sad to have Lexa in the dead zone.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be this
I
soon.
know. I'm very upset about this. I went to bed very upset, and I'm still upset. And why did you do this to me? No, you know what? I
Fuck
blame
Aunt Lee.
everybody in society for watching The Walking Dead and giving it enough viewers to afford a spin-off.
I'm sorry that I'm kind of one of them.
Right. So I think that's it. This wasn't that truncated after all, but
Well, compared to
yeah, some of them.
usual.
So again, if you want a listener feedback episode, we'd love to hear your thoughts, especially about that last section. Like, you know, we're not personally connected to that stuff, so if you have your own personal stories and stuff like that, but why it's upsetting you, we'd love to hear from that.
You don't want to make anybody feel like their feelings are invalid. That's like, if anything, there that should be a takeaway of like, just because we can't personally comment with our own feelings on it, that doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge that there are deserved feelings regarding this issue.
All right, so if you do want to be part of that, you can either email us at the100pod@gmail.com or send us a tweet at the100podcast on Twitter, or you can even ask us a question at the100-podcast.tumblr.com. All those hundreds are 100 numeral form. And also, you could leave us a lovely iTunes review. You guys did so great last week, and this week you didn't. So catch up, guys. iTunes review.
And if there's any chance of any of our listeners, as unlikely as it is, that are going to be at the Granger Leadership Academy conference in Rhode Island this weekend, that's where I'll be. So, as unlikely as that is, find me there, or don't stalk me. Yeah. I don't know why I said any of
Stalk her.
don't stalk me, but like if you're there, that'd be cool to meet with you.
Do we want to get into the TMI part of the
Oh.
Oh,
Wait, what's he talking about? Oh.
oh, baby, baby.
That is not what either of us said.
Do you want to do that?
Let's do it. It's okay. Funny.
All right. So before we end out, we have a fun bonus segment that I'm calling TMI. Too much information.
Anyone who does not want the TMI, feel free to stop listening now and save yourself from knowing too much information.
So, actually, this would be a great, this could be a spoiler segment, but that's not what we're going for. We're
Neither of us want to be spoiled. Why would we have a spoiler section?
But we're going to tell you guys a funny anecdote that's a little personal. So.
Maybe I should take out that part of meeting me after we.
No, that's all good. So the other day, me and Olga were together in the biblical sense. And I jokingly said, yes, Clark, yes, Clark.
Which we've already, didn't we say that on the podcast?
Yeah, I said on the podcast, and you're like, oh God, if you ever say that or whatever. So that's why I brought it up. And you had the best response ever.
I said, I was like, oh, Bellamy, pause. Oh, Alexa. Oh, Bellamy. Oh, Alexa.
It was even better than that.
Dan's face.
It was even better than that because you were like, oh, Bellamy. I mean, Alexa. I mean, Bellamy. I mean, Alexa. It had like a voice to it, too. Like, I don't totally remember, but it was hilarious.
I obviously cannot recreate it now because that would get us banned from uploading anything to iTunes ever.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, just as a side note, make sure you guys are good relationships are the ones where you can have something funny and weird and hilarious happen during sexy times, and you won't feel uncomfortable about it. So, we're in the ideal zone.
The ideal zone. It's better than the dead zone.
Better than the dead zone.
Also, I guess just a little preview for upcoming events.
Wait, what? No. Are we still in the TMI area? What are you telling me
I'm
here?
I'm not previewing our TMI. So next time that Olga's on, we're going to do a section where we talk about Pokemon, because I am currently playing yellow version of Pokemon, and I have named my main character Jason and my Pikachu Clark. And I won't tell you the rest of the things, but I'm basically naming every Pokemon that I catch a character from the 100. And so I'm trying to figure out which Pokemon connect the best from Gen 1.
Strictly Gen 1. So Dan and I are going to be compiling our lists of which characters. Pokemon go with which characters.
We just totally talked over each other. That's my fault. I apologize. But yeah, Pokemon with 100 characters. I think it's a fun time if you want to join in. I also made my rival shippers.
You're going to be, with this last like 5 minutes of this podcast, we are probably alienating so many people. Oh boy, I apologize.
I'll be interested to see if we get any reviews based on this segment of the.
I will be terrified. I will be waiting with bated breath.
All right, I think our fight is over because we've probably already gone too far.
I am blushing. A motherfucker. Oh God.
Let's just hope your mom never listens to the podcast, dear.
Oh God.
All right, thank you guys for listening. May we meet again.
Don't meet me, guys. Don't meet me.